I was that district's one of their teacher of the year my first 2 years in a row. A first and second year teacher getting the teacher of the year award first 2 years, that's not right. And that's when I smelled kind of something in the water. And see this hour-long conversation in which they describe ways they would like to update the sex ed curriculum. One of those being removing the words boy and girl and replacing those with the word people. Like, oh, girls don't get periods, people get periods. What we are dealing with in the country right now, especially on the heels of COVID, is a lot of parents waking up to the fact that when you just vote for a name that you maybe recognize on a school board, or you leave that section blank on the ballot, that has very serious consequences.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Sean Spicer Show. As you remember, in Virginia, education and parents' involvement was a major, major issue. And as we head towards 2024, I want to break down what's happening in one Arizona school district, because I think it's actually happening a lot more. What these folks on the left are doing to indoctrinate kids is unbelievable. And I think a lot of cases it happens without parents knowing. And so we need to get into what you need to know as a parent, what your kids are learning and how. I want to bring in Tony Kinnett. He is an investigative columnist for the Daily Signal, and he's a radio host in Indianapolis. Before we do that, I want to tell you about two of the great sponsors that help keep this show free for all of us. Let's do that and then get into it with Tony. All right, both Mother's and Father's Day are coming up, and I have the perfect gift for you if you want to outdo a brother or a sister, or you just want to see yourself in their home, because you know that they'll have to hang this when I tell you about it. This is the most unique and meaningful gift that you could probably give your parent right now. Check this out. This is what I did. I took a picture of me. You probably have to get your own, or I'll let you download this if you really want it. But check out what it became. A very unique painting. Here's the cool part about this. The folks at Paint Your Life right now will allow you to choose the artist that you want, the type that you want, oil, acrylic, charcoal, you name it, plus an amazing frame. And if you text Spicer to 87204, right now you get 20% off and free shipping. It takes about 5 minutes to set the whole thing up. You couldn't make it easier for such an amazing gift. Text Spicer to 87204 and see what the folks at Paint Your Life will do for you. You know that your parents will have to hang this in the house. They just have to, right? And the quality is absolutely amazing, completely unique. You get to stay in touch with the artist. They'll send you a video of it. So right now, do this. Text Spicer to 87204, free shipping and 20% off. Message and data rates may apply. All right, guys, when we lose power, whether it's because our power grid gets hit or a power line goes down or natural disaster strikes, whether it's a day or a week or a month, if you've been subject to this, you know what I'm talking about. You're trying to figure out how you're going to power your phone, your computer, your medical devices. I mean, your refrigerator, all that food. Well, I've got the answer for you, because I have in my house a Patriot Power Generator 2000X. And if you go to fourpatriots.com/Spicer, you can have one too, right? This is the kind of thing that you want to get ahead of when an emergency hits. Whether it's you, your family, a neighbor, a loved one, you want to make sure that you can take them. And the Patriot Power Generator is completely portable. Now, you can look on the video that I've got up there. I've got it in my house. There are no fumes, no gas to fill it up with. It's got no noise. You bring it into your house. You can bring it wherever you go if you needed to bring it to a friend's house. And it's completely powered through solar panels. So you don't have to worry about going out and getting and refilling it with gas. You can bring it into the house and then power it up through the power of the sun with a solar panel that comes free with it. Get ahead of a crisis now. Go to 4patriots.com/Spicer and get your Patriot Power Generator 2000X so you can be prepared like I am. Tony, thanks for joining us today. I'm so excited to have this conversation, disappointed to have it, but excited to, because when I read your story, I kept thinking to myself, there's no way that it's this bad. So can you just stop and break down for the listeners, like, what sort of the big picture is that's going on at this in this Arizona school district?
So first of all, like all important stories, from back when I was a teacher till now as an education columnist, the parents reached out to me.
Really? And wait, so how does that happen? Like, do you just get an email that says, Tony, I know you talk about this a lot on the radio, or you've written a Daily Signal column? Like, what does that look like?
I was fired from Indianapolis Public Schools for exposing critical race theory at the district. So I developed kind of a reputation for bringing a sledgehammer to these kind of problems from the inside. And
Word of mouth? I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I apologize. But I didn't know teachers could get fired. I always thought that like, and I'm being serious. Like, how does that happen? Can you just share your, I want to get into this, but when you say that, it stops me dead in my tracks. How does a teacher like you get fired for voicing something?
So there are several states which have right to work laws, yep, which means that the school can fire anyone on a teacher contract or an administrator contract for whatever. And in my case, even with that law in place, it took them, I think, 2 or 3 months to find enough stuff to fire me for. And even then, they fired me for like missing a school meeting on some forlorn, rainy October day. They couldn't actually fire me officially for what I had gone on the record about. But anywho, they can fire teachers. I've actually worked with a lot of teachers and counselors who have been fired from districts in Indiana, in Washington, in California, who have been fired for leaking these kind of inside stories on what's going on.
It's always, don't you notice that? It's always the, hey, you're exposing this, then we'll fire you. If you're not showing up for work and teaching like crazy leftist progressive stuff, you never get fired, do you?
No, and that was what was wild is when I was the science coordinator, literally the guy directing all of the science teachers for, at the time, the largest public school district in the state of Indiana, my worst teachers were the safest. They could do nothing. Their students were doing horribly, and they would never, ever be met with any kind of consequences.
You know, the funny thing is, again, we're getting off topic, but it was funny. I have a friend of mine in Virginia who is dating a school teacher, a public school teacher. And she cares about her kids in a way that just brings tears to your heart. I mean, like she goes out of her way and is constantly buying stuff for the kids and creating extracurricular things. I mean, just the kind of teacher that every kid who had a great upbringing looks back and say, you remember Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so? Mm. She's that teacher, right? And we were having a conversation just very casually about how things were going. And I said, how's she doing? You know, post-COVID, returning to the classroom. And he goes, man, you know what's tough is that she went in for her evaluation and her whatever, assessment, and she realized no matter how hard she tries, she's going to get the same score as the person who barely shows up, who calls in sick all the time. And she was just like, this is the problem. She goes, it's not that I do it because I love it. I'm not looking, it's not like they can give me anything, right? It's public school. It's not like there's some massive bonus at the end of the year or whatever, but she just wants to be recognized to some degree for the hard work and the dedication, mm-hmm, the commitment that she has. And yet she realized that watching these other teachers who mail it in, who don't care, who barely show up, that she's going to get the same score as them no matter how hard she tries or how little they try.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, Sean. That's actually what drove me into writing political commentary. You've seen the movie Hoosiers, yeah?
Yeah.
So that's the school that I started teaching at my first 2 years. And I was that district's one of their teacher of the year my first 2 years in a row. A first and second year teacher getting the teacher of the year award first 2 years, that's not right. And that's when I smelled kind of something in the water. It's like, wait a minute. I mean, I was passionate, but I wasn't some, you know, gift from on high to teaching. And so you're right. That kind of mediocrity is praised. That's kind of the weird standard in the education system right now. And it leaves a lot of really amazing teachers out from being recognized for what they bring to the craft.
Well, and it also keeps the bad ones in. That's the bigger problem, right?
Mm, well said.
Yeah, I think the problem to me is that we have teachers who don't show up, who don't care. I know at my kid's school, at one point, one of the teachers who had previously been in public school said, I'm just so excited to be at a school where parents are engaged. And I'm actually teaching and not playing truancy cop. Anyway, I digress for a second. So these people reach out to you to share their stories.
Yeah. So they share a poster with me, which looked, just being very transparent as a conservative journalist, too good to be true. I mean, there are some stories that you know are going to trend immediately because of what you're sent. And so my red flag in the back of my head popped up and I thought, oh, I better double and triple check this because, you know, maybe it's Photoshopped, maybe it's some kind of a hoax. And it was a poster. And on this poster, it said a transgender name change clinic, which was going to teach you how to legally change your name even when your parents weren't going to sign off on it, meaning going around behind parents' backs. And there was this law firm that was sponsoring it. And next to it, and this is the part that I could have sworn it should have been Photoshopped, it said all ages. And the part that really got me was that it was for the elementary school of the Flagstaff Unified School District. I thought, this can't be. And so I looked into this, and we were able to verify that that actually was put up by the elementary school, and that the school was also updating its sex ed curriculum, which, as a former science teacher, maybe, oh, are we updating to some new modern terms? Maybe there's some new birth control methods you want to mention or something. No, it's not like biological science updating the curriculum. It's removing boy and girl from the sex ed curriculum, which I don't know if you know anything about biology, but that's kind of the whole point of sex ed, is the whole boy and girl thing. So parents were worried. As one parent told me, he's like, look, I have daughters. And he said, if my daughter has a question about her, you know, her period or something like that, and she's in a room with a bunch of snickering boys who are allowed to go to girls' sex ed classes, she's never going to ask any questions. She's going to feel embarrassed about, you know, the kind of stuff that she wants, you know, questions answered about. So all of these parents were frustrated. They talked to the school board and they said, look, we've got an issue with this. No one talked to us. And the school board president responded, well, I'll never apologize for being inclusive, which, you know, inclusive.
So and, who put the poster up? And we're going to put we'll put a picture. If you're listening on the audio version of this, check it out. We've got it up. But who is the person behind the poster? Who created it?
The school district did not respond, although the Arizona Department of Education is currently investigating this, because as Tom Horn, the state superintendent, told me, if they are providing legal advice, especially that tries to circumvent parental rights, that is against the law. But the elementary school for Flagstaff Unified and the high school in Flagstaff Unified both put up the poster.
I mean, okay, high school, elementary, like this is where I just start to wonder what's going on. Like, I don't want my kids in elementary having any of the, I mean, it's basic science, like any type of sexuality discussion should be either at home or be put off. Like, that's not what you should be learning as a 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old.
Correct. And again, as someone who has the master's in education degrees and who was a science teacher and a biology teacher, no, there's no reason that we need to sexualize and basically start the puberty process early in minors in elementary school, who should be enjoying their innocence, much less talking about weird sexuality things that are going to confuse them, and much, much less circumventing the rights of a parent to have knowledge of what their child might be struggling with mentally. I mean, if your child is going through gender dysphoria or is starting to flirt with transgenderism, that is a serious risk of suicide that you as a parent need to be made aware of.
You know, it's fascinating that you bring this up. I don't know if you have read in the last, whatever it's been, couple of weeks, there's a book by Jonathan Haidt, who was the author of Coddling of the American Mind a couple of years ago. And then he just put out this brand new book that really deals, it's gotten a lot of attention, mostly because of smartphones and social media. But he talks a lot about this as well, about how, especially for a bunch of these young kids, that a lot of it, especially with young girls, is sort of a pack mentality, that they start to see what the other ones are doing. And all of this mental health issue is something that is really coming to play. But this gender dysphoria issue is, and again, I don't want to overstate it. I'm not trying to act like the expert here, but the studies that are coming, that he is pointing to, show that young women in particular kind of are going, oh, well, my friend thinks this and my other friend thinks this, and using it more as a pack mentality issue than it is necessarily something that they're personally going through.
I mean, look, the data has been there for a long time that students go through kinds of phases of this peer mentality where, look, my friends all think this, therefore do I think this? You know, kids reach 13, 14 years of age, and they start to ask kind of the deeper questions. Why do I believe what I believe?
Right.
Why does my friend believe this? Maybe I should be like them to be cool. And it's become a very weird fad. And obviously, again, given that the hormonal treatments that are provided are extremely carcinogenic, and that the suicide ideation is so immense with this, it's so dangerous that it shouldn't be legal in the United States, you know, like the UK banning it. And yet we're endorsing it over here. It's truly insane.
So let me get back to the who. So this poster goes up. You say the school district is behind it. Somebody makes a decision, I assume, right? It's for all ages. I guess the high school one is a whole separate conversation about where they are in their evolution of thinking, right? But I don't think that there should be a huge controversy about elementary school students not being exposed to this. So is there somebody who's responsible for putting it in the elementary schools?
So this is what I would say, yes, from what I've seen. That is my guess, my educated guess, you might say. The Arizona Department of Education, full credit to them, is currently investigating the matter. I don't have any additional details on, you know, the individual who they were very clear. In fact, the school board president made it very clear she didn't want to answer any of my questions. And then, of course, you know, signed her email off with all of the pronouns that go with it. She did make it clear to parents, however, when the parents said, well, we'll fill this room with a lot more parents who express concerns with the way the sex ed is going in these posters. And Christine Fredericks, the school board president of Flagstaff Unified, responded, "Bring it on," end quote, which is just
so mind-boggling. For those who don't understand, look, what is the general ideological makeup of Flagstaff? Is it more conservative? Is it more liberal? What?
It's liberal. It has some Republican representation, but Arizona, like most states in the United States, has a lot of school boards that for a long time are very blue.
Yeah.
And they are very blue because parents and the larger American public basically had kind of a hands-off approach on education, nodding back to the teacher that you were referencing who went to the private school being excited about the very present parents who were engaged. So what we are dealing with in the country right now, especially on the heels of COVID, is a lot of parents waking up to the fact that when you just vote for a name that you maybe recognize on a school board, or you leave that section blank on the ballot, that has very serious consequences. And as someone who sat in Masters of Education classes with a lot of these nitwits, they are very, very far to the left. And so whether it's a red or blue community in Flagstaff, it's mixed leaning blue. You are going to get these situations in which the makeup of the school board is very discordant with a majority parental population at the district.
So again, I'm not by any means an expert on school boards and how it all works, but is the school board driving this down to say, calling the principal or the superintendent of schools in a place like Flagstaff and say, we want you to host a seminar or a briefing on this stuff for the kids? Or is it the school that's driving it and the board signs off on it, but how does it flow?
Well, actually, I can answer this one pretty on the dot. We have a video that we obtained of members of the school board, along with staff from the school district, administrators, teachers, I think the health teacher or the PE teacher was involved. And you can see this hour-long conversation in which they describe ways they would like to update the sex ed curriculum. One of those being removing the words boy and girl and replacing those with the word people. Like, oh, girls don't get periods, people get periods. So it looked like a combined effort from this video that we observed.
That's something to consider.
I'm taking out language that says boy or girl.
Talk about people. Some people have
periods.
Some people don't have periods. We're getting
really detailed. Like if you have a uterus, if you were born with a uterus, you'll probably have a period. And if you're born with a penis, you will not ever have a period.
Right. Betty, big change.
Isn't that, but as somebody like you who has a degree in this biology, this is from the side who throughout COVID, we were told, follow the science. That's just not scientifically true. People don't get periods. Women do. Girls do. You know, I mean, there's a chromosome makeup that allows that to happen. Even people who identify as women can't have a period.
So academia, that is education, used to be based on what's called quantitative research, which means numbers, hard science, hard math. We put in these factors, we get these responses. That's hard science. And when you used to read studies, the studies would tell you, you know, we observed this number of individuals showing X number of symptoms over Y period of time. It was very data driven. And that's what you and I are citing, that hard science. But what it has been replaced with is what's called qualitative science. So what they'll say is, well, we interviewed 100 people and 68% of them said they feel like they are sometimes attracted to another gender. And sometimes they feel as though they're oppressed for being attracted to other whatevers. And so we've replaced actual scientific study with, well, how do you feel? So these new science staff or PE teachers or these woke administrators who have nothing else to do with their lives than drink wine and gripe at people is they'll read this study that says, well, 68% of people said they felt bad, and they'll use that as the research to beat you over the head with.
So when the parent at this meeting says, hey, we're going to bring more parents, and the president of school board says, bring it, what happens? Do more parents get involved? I got to imagine that the parents themselves on the flyer, et cetera, aren't aware of this. Like, is this news to parents, or are they all aware of it?
It's both news and it's expected. So there's a kind of common understanding with the average American right now, and I mean down to the apolitical person who never deals in politics, there's an understanding now that public education has severely waned in the United States and that left-leaning political advocacy has become the mainstay over the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And you can see this via polling that suggests that more people in the United States trust Republicans in education over Democrats now. But as to your question on, did parents broadly know about it, I would say no. And the reason I would say no is after the parents communicated this to me, I tried to get the story out as quickly as possible so that a lot of parents could see that before the next school board meeting. But I was skittish because I have never had to retract anything in any of my stories. I'm a former science guy. I double, triple, quadruple check my sources. I hyperlink every claim that I make in any story that I write. So we didn't actually get the story out until a few hours before the next school board meeting. And so there weren't a ton of parents that ended up showing up for that. But I tell you what, I really bet that based on how this story has taken off, that the next one will be packed with not only parents from Flagstaff Unified, but parents from around Arizona.
So with respect to the poster talking, let's just be clear. It's a name change clinic for trans or non-gender conforming students of all ages. I don't think if you told a third or a fourth grader what that meant, they'd have a clue, right? So it's almost like instead of them coming to learn, they're coming to be told, if you will. What is the legality of that? Like, I know that, if a kid is in school now and wants to get an aspirin or something, that they, the school has to get permission. Where's the line about what the school has to ask for permission of currently in a place like Flagstaff? Can they just change the name? Can they call them he, she, if they're they, there, or what?
So there are three kinds of laws to consider here. There's education law, there's medical law, and then there's giving legal advice to a minor. So that's the easiest one. We'll lock that out first. You cannot make a minor sign a legally binding contract that infringes on parental rights. I can't sign your kid to work up in the coal mines. I can't. Wow. Your kid's not, it's not my kid. So according to Tom Horn of the state superintendent for education in Arizona, he says, you can't advise children
Tom Horn, he's you have a Democrat as the governor, right? So is Tom Horn a Democrat?
I believe that Tom Horn was elected independently. I think they have a separate. Yeah. In Indiana, it's appointed. In Arizona, it's an elected position.
Okay, good.
But in this particular case, you can't offer legal advice to a child, especially not some that supersedes rights. Next, there's education law, which is that you cannot withhold education information from the parent. You can't do that. You can't say, well, these are your grades. This is your name. This is your permanent record. So we're going to call you one thing here at school. And then when we talk to parents, we're going to call you something else. I don't claim to be an expert on Arizona's specific education law. Every state has their own between 100 and 200 year odd education law history. But I can say that in Arizona, you can't hide educational information from kids. Lastly, but not least,
that means that if they are Johnny, who's a boy, that they can't hide the fact that at school they're calling Sally a girl.
Right. In the same way that, like, if I'm a teacher and I come up with a nasty nickname for a student, I can't hide that from the parent when they come in and say, hey, are you calling my kid stupid? I can't look at them and say, well, that's just between us in the classroom. No. And by the way, the Freedom of Information Act makes it very clear that a public funded institution, especially in education, can't withhold information from a parent or the general public of that nature. And then medical law is pretty much the same as the last one, only suggesting that you can't give medical advice to kids without parental knowledge or consent either.
So what would, if you're telling a kid, then I don't understand. If I would assume if you're on the school board and you're putting this poster out, there's somebody that's saying, hey guys, this violates at least two of these legal issues.
No. No,
why not?
No. Well, number one, because they're all making it up as they go, because this wasn't an issue 15 or 20 years ago. So the laws weren't written like how the founding fathers never anticipated that half of our civil liberties would have been infringed.
It's actually,
as they have
it's the founding people.
Oh, so thank you for, I will issue an apology with my local Ministry of Truth official.
yes.
honestly, I don't think they're making it up as they go because the terms change, the names change. And again, you have a bunch of very sad, old, bitter, progressive people who have made this. They don't have a church, they don't have family, they don't have anything meaningful in their lives that's giving them purpose. So they've decided to make this their crusade. So no, they're not actually going through full legal frameworks. Well, can we do this? Can we not do this? Because Americans haven't really cared about education for the last 50 years. It was like the engine light. Your dad used to come home at the end of every week and check the car's oil because there was no light on the dash that told him if the car's oil was doing fine. Well, now you don't even open the hood of your car unless there's a light on the dashboard.
Right.
That's American education. So in 2020 with COVID, parents saw smoke coming from the hood of the car, lifted the hood up and thought, oh my God, everything's a mess. And now parents are checking in, but the education system is still used to getting away with whatever because, and I mean this sincerely, I don't think that it's malice as much as it's a lot of education individuals with umpteen degrees behind their name. They just think they're better than you.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly, they think they are smarter when it comes to rearing your children than you are. And so they're just going to do what they want. And you knuckle dragging Neanderthals aren't going to notice.
All right. If you're up and about all day and you've got tired feet, I've got the solution for you. Gravity Defier shoes. They are the ultimate in comfort shoes. They support you when you're on the go. So if you're running errands, you're on the sideline with the kids at all their games, you're in meetings day in and day out, this is the answer you've been looking for. Every single pair of Gravity Defier shoes comes with custom orthotics. You know what I'm talking about if you've had feet issues or you're getting tired all day. Custom orthotics are the answers. And these shoes all have the Verso patented trampoline technology in them that adds a level of cushion in the heel right where you need it most. That's going to help absorb shock throughout the day to give you back some of that energy, right? And the shoes also will improve your posture. It helps with stress. It helps put the key muscle groups into action. We're talking your calves and other major muscle groups so that you're using the right muscles as you walk around. There are countless customer reviews that talk about the positive results of Gravity Defier shoes. The best part is right now, if you go to GDEFY.com and enter code SPICER30, go to GDEFY.com, enter the code SPICER30, you get $30 off your $150 order. You can go there right now, $30 off a $150 order if you go to GDEFY.com and enter code word SPICER30. Tony, by the way, I love the analogy with the light on the car. It's so accurate, right? You don't look. And I mean, these days, you're absolutely right. I think about that all the time. I wouldn't even fathom getting my oil checked until the light comes on. But I do remember back in the day, that's, you know, you had to check it when there wasn't a light. And that's pretty much what's happening now is the light's going on, or at least the smoke is telling us to look under there because COVID was like you seeing the kid at the kitchen table reading stuff or reciting stuff or hearing a video and you go, wait a second, where did that come from? And that's the light that suddenly went on for so many parents. Let me ask you this though, as somebody who was a teacher in a classroom and I was asking you about which direction this goes in, where do the are the teachers a mixed bag? Is it like some of the teachers are going, finally, we get to say all this and I get to expose everyone to my lifestyle? Or the teachers like you who were science based to teach, you know, educated to teach science, saying, oh my goodness, like this is not what I signed up for. Or, you know, where do the teachers fall in that spectrum?
The last known survey that we have identifying teachers' political leanings this was an Education Week survey in 2017, so it's a little out of date, says that really only one third of the teachers in any public school system, obviously varying from district to district, region, and state, are far to the left. Now, that doesn't mean that it's one third independent and one third on the right, but only one third are really on the far left. And that's usually a very vocal minority. A lot of new teachers that are coming into the classroom are more progressive because, again, left-leaning colleges and institutions are pumping out extremely left-leaning teachers. But there is a growing number of right-leaning and independent teachers who just want to teach.
Really?
Like, they don't want all this garbage. They're so tired of it. And this is something, I used to run an education publication called Chalkboard Review, which is no longer operating. And we had a ton of teachers that just wanted to teach. They just wanted to help kids read and do math and understand history and to grow. And look, like you said, I remember this teacher that was that great in my life. A lot of people have those. Those teachers are exhausted because of the hyper politicalization that doesn't just come in the form of critical race theory or gender ideology, but also in restorative justice that makes their classrooms extremely violent. So while there are a lot of good teachers, a lot of them are leaving the classroom, like my wife, for instance, because her elementary music classroom had like three or four fights a day that were extremely violent. The kids would just come right back to class.
Yeah, you see these videos on social media where the kid goes nuts on a teacher, starts throwing stuff, and I'm thinking, who would want to be in that classroom?
I'm glad that you brought that up. One of the school districts in, or one of the schools in Indianapolis Public Schools, Arsenal Tech in Indianapolis, where I was the science coordinator, it had so many fights that there were multiple Instagram accounts run by students documenting the multiple fights per day. And as quickly as the school could get the Indiana State Police to take down those accounts, they would pop back up. Washington High School, just a few blocks down, had to lock the bathrooms during the day so students would not go in there and kill each other between passing periods. However violent you think public schools are right now, it is not even close to the reality of how brutal it is in some of these districts.
So in the story that you wrote for the Daily Signal, you wrote, in a recent investigation by the organization Parents Defending Education revealed that the centers in public schools around the country were offering hormonal medication to students. That goes to what you were talking about, the medical law. If that's happening, how is that just not a flagrant foul?
Well, there's a little bit of a loophole, which is that you remember earlier on. Well, you'll click right into this. Remember earlier how you said the parents had to sign something if their kid wanted ibuprofen?
Right.
Okay. So at the beginning of the year, you can send a form home with your kids that says, "Hey, do you allow us to provide very basic medical care and procedures to your kids?" And of course, you, like every other normal parent on the face of the earth, says, "Oh, they're talking about Tylenol and ibuprofen." You sign the signature and send it off with your kid. Only at some of these schools, that now also means the full services of this clinic, which can include Plan B abortion drugs and hormonal treatments, which, as I already stated, are extremely carcinogenic.
I mean, I got to imagine that, like, that's got a whole, but the funny thing is we live in such a litigious world. Everybody sues everything, everybody for everything. Our parents, at least from what people are tipping you off, are any of them considering legal action against any of these school boards or individuals?
I mean, not even just considering. In this particular case,
or any of them that what are parents doing to fight back is probably the best way to put that.
There are a lot of lawsuits out there. There are lawsuits between former teachers and counselors who were fired by their districts, who were unjustly terminated for exposing this kind of stuff. Their parents filing lawsuits on behalf of their kids, their community members filing lawsuits on behalf of their taxes. But still, I think the most effective way is taking your school board by storm, learning how the school board works. You know, don't get up there and embarrass yourself by just walking in and thinking, you know, you don't need to know anything about how education works, but taking the school board back by storm and restoring the taxpayer dollars in education to something that is, I don't know, useful.
Do you think that when you say, like, I just wonder how many parents, whether it was COVID or whatever, understand their rights, understand what's happening? I'm trying to get the sense of how many of them. I know, for example, this was a big issue here in Virginia, right? When Governor Youngkin was running, education was a big, big issue because, as you might recall, former Governor Terry McAuliffe said, "Hey, parents shouldn't be involved in their kids' education," and then that made the race take off on steroids. I just wonder how many parents think, I need to worry about what the teacher is saying in my classroom. Like, I remember growing up when my parents had a problem with something in school, and it wasn't that often, but they'd call the teacher and say, hey, can I talk to you? Like, I'm a little concerned about what's happening in the classroom, or Sean needs to move to the front because he can't see as well. I didn't realize I needed glasses at that point. But is there a process where some of this is getting solved, or is it so much getting jammed that parents are kind of like, it's a tidal wave coming at them?
Unfortunately, the answer to basically all of those questions is yes and no. It depends on the district. It depends on the region. There are places where parents are getting things solved. There's a school system in Indianapolis or north of Indianapolis called Hamilton Southeastern that flipped to the district, and they have gotten rid of a ton of extremely woke and ridiculous administrators. There are places around the country where the school district is kind of ossifying. It's like hardening its stance towards parents and is tripling down on the gender stuff. You have states where the school choice movement is expanding. I always tell this to parents who want kind of an immediate fix. Find the good teachers and buddy up with them. When I was a teacher, the union did not care for me at all. They never did anything. They like gave a small sample size of fudge to the teachers once a year. That was their contribution. My parents took care of me. And as a result, I made sure that they knew all of the inside tracks. If there was anything going on, things that were said, things that were appropriate and weren't appropriate, and I kept them in the loop. And I think that is the best immediate solution to at least the present problem. Amplify the great teachers, and that way those teachers won't feel hopelessly alone when they're going up against the woke administration.
Yeah, that I think that's what you're putting your finger on is so important, because I think a lot of teachers feel isolated. They're working real hard. I mean, you don't go into teaching for the money.
No.
So you go into it for the love of teaching and for the kids, and having parents that have your back, I think, must make you feel better. But when you say that, like, if you're a teacher right now, you're back being Tony the teacher, and the school board is pushing down this flyer and saying, we're having a day like this. Do you feel the pressure as a teacher to conform, or can you kind of just go, I'm going to keep my head down, I'm going to focus on teaching science, fact-based the way I know and I was taught? Or is there a pressure that they're basically saying, hey, dude, go along to get along?
It would depend on if you're asking if there's a pressure to just go along to get along, absolutely. Just keep your head down, try to avoid it. Just do the stupid trainings, just, you know, call students by whatever name they want to be called and just kind of get through it until you retire. That's a huge part of it, because if you don't, you'll be blacklisted.
Only 20 years. It's just 20 years of that.
I mean, it killed my soul working at IPS. Every single day I would wake up and I would feel a little bit less of a person knowing that I had to go and deal with all of the garbage that kept me from actually improving things in the district.
But how many other teachers felt that way, Tony? Did they say, when you went to them and said, guys, I feel like my soul's getting ripped out of me because of this crap. Did they say, I'm with you, buddy, but hey, I got to pay the bills? Or is it like, dude, just keep to yourself. I can't.
Oh, it was very keep your head down. Oh, I had friends that were actually in the leadership department with me. One who I was good friends with. But I mean, we had like this young woke guy that was like stalking around like a Ministry of Truth officer who was like looking. I sent out a tweet saying rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh, when he passed away. He called me into HR over that.
What?
So, oh yeah, I think the story was written up at the time on the Daily Caller about it, but that was
what's that conversation look like? We saw your Twitter page that you have in your own personal capacity, and we don't like because you like a conservative, because you told someone to rest in peace.
So this is a young black gentleman who was very, very, very obsessed with the DEI and CRT stuff. Everything is oppressive. And so he said that I had amplified this white supremacist and I was very big bad. And so then he called me some really gross things in an email. I'm like, look, when I was in basic training, I received a lot things that were nicer said to me by sergeants than what I was called in these emails. And they brought me into the HR meeting, and they started off by saying how brave he was for even speaking at all about it. Because after all, Sean, you know how hard it is for someone who's in this oppressive society to speak up. And then they basically admitted, well, we can't tell you what to do and what not to do and say on your Twitter. Again, all I said was, rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh, who paved the way for so many of us, meaning independent journalism. He started the Patreon model. He is the founder of it. So that was the whole thing I was saying. And they said, well, but you are a leader in this district. You know, you're the science director coordinator. So you need to keep in mind, like, the things that you're saying, finger wag. And they basically let me know that they were going to keep an eye on me from that point forward. And from that meeting, I decided, okay, well, there's no way they're going to renew my contract next year. So I'm just going to burn this district down on the way out. And so I spent the next several months just collecting. I recorded.
You know what
all
I find
my-
funny, though, by the way, is that when you tell these stories, I read one the other day of this HR issue, similar kind of thing, where they brought this woman in who is a person of color, who another person of color felt as though some of the comments that she was making, which again, weren't, she said that she feared a supervisor. That was the exact word. She feared a supervisor. And the supervisor went after her and said that that was a racist trope because you only fear, you know, people of color. And of course she was a person of color. Okay. But then they never said, so they said, because you made him feel a certain way. And as I'm reading this story, I thought to myself, wait a second, why doesn't her feelings count as well? Like, she felt fear. Shouldn't that count as well? And yet here was this individual saying, no. I get my feelings got hurt first. Is that what mattered? Because I was just getting, you know, to your point about this example, they're telling you how brave he felt because expressing this. And I'm like, wait a second. So if I feel a certain way, I feel fearful of my supervisor, then I can't have that feeling because when I do, he had his feelings hurt first because of the feeling of fear. I mean, this is, it's so out of control.
It's, again, it's all qualitative. And you'll notice the I feel. It's when you move away from, you know, sound cases in legal arguments, sound cases in scientific arguments, sound cases in societal and ethical arguments, and you move to, well, I felt oppressed. Again, it's very Pablo Ferrarian, who wrote Pedagogy of the Oppressed, and talks about how everything is all oppression and being oppressed and all of this, that we're in full-on clown world, where if you're a member of the oppressed group, anything you say is instantly true. And if you are the group that is considered the oppressor, then anything that you say is immediately suspect. And that's the entire education system now.
Yeah, I remember I was... there was a story in the 2015-2016 cycle that came out in the Washington Post. There was this headline. It said, the outside candidate's inside guy. And it was about my help for Donald Trump, right? My college posted the headline from the Washington Post and said, Sean Spicer, class of 93, profiled in the Washington Post. The comments below it, I actually thought were a joke. One of the kids was like saying, I don't feel safe on campus anymore, because they had posted a link to a story on a Facebook page. And I called a buddy of mine. I go, is this a joke? Like, how do you not feel safe on campus? Because, and they didn't comment on it. They didn't say a great guy or anything. They just said Spicer, class of 93, profiled in Washington Post story, full stop, and then had a link to it. And I'm like, what? This feelings thing is absolutely insane.
Now, hang on a second, because it only goes so far. Because remember when like women were running around campuses saying, oh, there's a culture of rape on campus. I don't feel safe. And if I don't feel safe, there must be a culture of rape. But now we're seeing that, well, boys are changing in the locker room. And as we saw from the, you know, that story from the UK Daily Mail, I mean, he literally was suspended from a team for saying, oh, boobies, when a girl took off her top. Obviously he's not trans, just a perv. Oh, now it's not about, oh, well, I don't feel unsafe. Oh, you're being transphobic. So there's like, there's not even any set rules in the feelings dynamic.
No. I think it's whose feelings were. Well, if you're an oppressed class and your feelings are hurt, then that counts more than anyone else. Because again, I think in your circumstance, like that, or these other ones, who gets hurt matters is depending on where you sit on that spectrum of DEI. I want to read one last thing from the story that you wrote that I thought was fascinating, because it's in, and this is what one parent said. It said, we don't want to bring back to the classroom or any other extreme political or religious things taught either. We can do that in our homes, just like they can teach their belief in their homes. We want to let our children remain innocent and learn topics like math, reading, writing, spelling, science, geography, etc., not to be used as pawns to push a political agenda and further their beliefs. I think, Tony, that's the thing, is that I feel most parents just want to send their kids out the door every morning and say, learn those subjects, come back smarter, ready to compete. And they're coming home finding that their kids are being turned into political pawns to advance an agenda of the left.
Exactly. And this is the core issue. The problem is that the American education system has an expectation that they're going to learn how to read. They're going to learn how to do math. They're going to understand history, science, basic philosophy, ethics, and maybe do a little bit of PE and music. The problem that a lot of parents have is that they are not getting those expectations met. There's nothing political in there. You know, the kid's coming home and it's like, well, did you learn how to read today? And they're like, no, but I found out there's 47 different genders. And that was a joke a few years ago, like a political joke. It is now the reality. You have news outlets reporting that if you ban that in K-3, that's suddenly some kind of don't say gay bill or whatever. I mean, parents who have nothing, want nothing to do with politics, moderate Democrats, as we saw in New York and Virginia, referencing Governor Youngkin's election, they just want kids to learn how to survive as an adult. And I'm sorry, but multiple names and pronouns are not going to help you pay rent.
Nope. Tony, thanks for all your reporting on this. Please stay in touch because this is, I hope, still an issue as we head to the polls in 2024. I appreciate you being with us. Folks, thanks for being part of this great conversation. Tomorrow, we've got a great show lined up for you as well. But do me a favor, continue to support the show. Go to YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify. Make sure you're signing up. Go to the Sean Spicer Show. Check out our VIP page. Become part of our family. And we have little gatherings every week. Anything we do to help. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Sean Spicer Show.